I appreciate the Bible, and I appreciate the Old Testament. I appreciate the nation of Israel, that God chose that nation to teach us who live in these last days about Himself. And I appreciate preaching, as I'm going to do this morning, from the Old Testament in the book of Judges, chapter 13 through 16, very important part. And the Judges covered 400 years of history. 400 years. We've been a nation nearly that amount of time in America. And a lot of the things that are happening in America right now are happening in the days of the judges. God showed himself to the people and he gave them his word, and yet they turned to the gods of the people around them and they started worshiping them. And when they did that, they were under dominion, under slavery. Sin led to slavery. Idolatry led to slavery. And then they would cry unto the Lord, and God would save them. He would save them through a judge, a man that he would raise up, and that man would, for a time, bring them back to God, back to his word. They would be saved from the enemies around them and from being slaves to those enemies, and they would be blessed of God. Then they would depart from God again, and they would go back and worship the enemy's God and do it all over, and then they'd be enslaved again. And then God raised up a judge, and the judges were like little saviors. In fact, the Bible talks about these little saviors, and I call the theme for judges sin, slavery, and salvation. And here's what it said to one of these judges. It says in Judges 6, verse 14, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" See, God sent these judges. And he sent them to save his people. And God chose his people. And if God sends a man and calls a man, that man will be successful, because God will back him. And all of these judges had success in saving the people. Now, one of the judges I want to look at today, one of these little saviors, he was raised up by God to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And then he was to judge the nation of Israel, and he ruled for 30 years and blessed the people. This judge is very famous, probably the most famous of all the judges. He was the strongest man that ever lived. If you know his name, say it out loud. Samson. That's exactly right, Samson. And he was indeed the strongest man that ever lived. What'd you say?
I said, Brother Eric.
He said, Superman. Superman. That's right there, Superman. No, Superman is a myth. Amen? And Brother Eric's a myth. and Superman, and not only Superman's a myth, but Hercules. And all of these strong men that you see, and you see them pictured with the big muscles and, you know, all of this great physique and all of this. Samson didn't look like that. He looked like an ordinary man, but yet he was the strongest man by far of any man that ever lived. And there have been movies made about Samson, right? There have been all kinds of stories told about Samson. And the Bible takes three chapters to talk about him. And, you know, a lot of preachers, when they preach about Samson, they preach on his what, usually? His, what would you say, Brother Eric?
His hair.
His hair. His strength. That's true. What else do they do about Samson? One of the men, tell me, what do they preach about Samson?
His weakness.
His weakness. And usually his sinfulness, right? And yet, you know, Samson is mentioned in the Bible as a man of faith. And here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament. It says, "And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah." Now, these are all judges. Then he says, "Of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. That was Samson. Wax valiant in fight. Turn the flight of armies of the armies of aliens. Hebrews 11, 32 and 33. So as a judge, this man of faith, the strongest man that ever lived, I submit to you, he was a little savior of God's elect nation called Israel. And I would like to preach today on Samson, not on his weakness, not on per se his strength, not on his sin, but I would like to preach on Samson as the one that pictures the Savior, the one that pictures our New Testament Savior. I submit to you that Samson, though he was imperfect, was a man of faith, and he is in heaven, and he is a picture in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ, who began the New Testament. Amen? And so this morning, I want to say three things about that. And number one, Samson, like our Savior, had a supernatural birth. And I want you to notice Judges 13, verse 2. I'll read it. It says, "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not." Samson could not have been born were it not for a miracle of God. Samson needed a supernatural birth because his mother was barren. Why she was barren, I do not know, but I know that she could not naturally have a baby. I've heard of women that something happens to their tubes, you know, and they get an infection or something, a growth, and they can't have babies. I don't know what her problem was. I'm not a doctor, but I do know that she couldn't have babies naturally. And so God had to come to her and tell her that he was going to bless her with the strongest man that ever lived, a man that would be a little savior of the people of God, the nation of Israel. And he told her that. And so I want to say to you that she needed a miracle so that she could have this baby boy who was going to save Israel. Now there's another woman in the New Testament. She was fine. She could have children physically, but she was not married. And can somebody that is not married have children? Yes, they can. But if somebody is not married and they want to obey God, can they have children? Matt?
I'm sorry, one more time, sir.
Can somebody that's not married and they want to obey God have children?
No, sir.
No, they cannot. You know, that's one way to get them to listen. Amen? No, they cannot. You cannot have children if you... Do people get children that are not married? All the time. It's happening all the time. And that's one of the reasons that America is going to hell in a handbasket. Unless we get right with God. Because that's what the people did in Samson's day. They left God. They went into sin. They worshiped false gods. And what's America's biggest false god? The god of evolution. And evolution is a lie. And so when you leave the God of the Bible and you believe you came from an animal, then you're going to live like an animal. And an animal doesn't have to get married to have children. Now, does it?
Nope.
But people do. And if you're going to, and so Mary, she loved God. She believed God and she would not have a child. In fact, when the angel told her, "You're going to have a child," she said, "How can I? I don't have a man. Now, she was betrothed to have, but she didn't yet live with the man. And so she couldn't have a baby. But God said, "You're going to have a baby anyway, and it's not going to be a sin against God." And it wasn't a sin against God because Mary, who is the father of the baby?
The Holy Spirit.
All right. God the Father was the father of the baby. That's right. And the Holy Spirit did the miracle so that God the Father... if you would check the chromosome on the blood of Jesus, it would not have male blood. It would have the mother's blood. He was the seed of the woman. God made her pregnant. Was it a physical thing? No, it was by the Holy Ghost, as he said. The birth was holy. I'm just showing you that Samson, in his birth, it was supernatural. His mother needed the miracle of the Holy Spirit to give birth to Samson. Not that she was a virgin, but it's a picture. And the same way, the Holy Spirit had to take that Virgin Mary and make the egg in her womb conceive. And God did that through a miracle. And so the baby was called the Son of God. Because God was the father of that baby boy. Amen?
Amen.
And that baby boy came out without a sin nature. Because that sin nature is passed from Adam and on down through the father. And that baby had no sin nature. He had no sin at all. Jesus said, "Who convicteth me of sin?" The Bible says he was without sin. Thank God for that. He was virgin born. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 7 verse 14 says that he is virgin born. I'm here to tell you this morning, the greatest Christmas present that's ever been given is the Christmas present of the one that was born in Bethlehem by a miracle of God. Yes, Samson was a blessing to Israel. They were enslaved to the Philistines. They had giants in the land, and they were enslaved to the Philistines. But God was going to raise up the strongest man that ever lived. That man with the jawbone of a donkey could kill hundreds and hundreds of these Philistines. And he did it, you see, because he was the strongest man that ever lived. And he was miraculously born. And just like Jesus was miraculously born to be a present to the world. If you're here today, the carnival is free. But if you're here today, your Savior is a free gift from God. The greatest gift ever. And you're invited. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. Perhaps you've given up your virginity. Perhaps you've gotten into drugs. Perhaps you've gotten into things that are sinful and wrong. God says that's what he came to do, to save you. And that's what Samson came to do. He came to save the people from their sinful life and what it brought upon them. And so it says that Samson's mother had this heavenly visitor, an angel, who was the Lord Jesus Christ before he would be born of the virgin. And Samson's mother was told by the Lord that she would soon have that special birthday. Amen. And she was going to have that little baby. And he was going to be very, very strong. Now, his strength is explained here in Judges 13:25. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord began to move him." He looked like an ordinary man. And by the way, Jesus looked like an ordinary man. Jesus looked just like any other man. He didn't look special, but you see, the Holy Spirit was leading Jesus to do what he did. And Jesus submitted himself to the Holy Spirit. And likewise, Samson, when he was going to save the people by his great strength, he had to have the power of the Holy Spirit because his muscles were not any stronger than you or me. In fact, he told Delilah one time. You know who Delilah was, right? Who was Delilah, Brother Z?
Samson's girlfriend.
Samson's girlfriend. He always had a girlfriend, but we're not preaching on that. And Delilah, he told her, you know, if I violate my vow from God, my strength will go from me. And I'll be just like any other man. Because it wasn't his muscles. His strength was supernatural. It was the Holy Spirit. And even when he was a boy, The Bible said he was from the tribe of Dan. And his strength, the Holy Spirit began to move him even when he was a boy. And one time he was going to take a trip and he saw a lion, you know, and he killed the lion. He killed the lion with his bare hands. Can you imagine that? Killed a lion with his bare hands. What strength? What man could do that? He had strength, but it was from God. And our Savior, he did miracles, but he didn't do them by his power as the Son of God. He could have, but he didn't. He submitted to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helped him do miracles. And by the way, that's how you're to live your life if you're a born-again Christian, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He will help you to do things you couldn't do in yourself. He will help you to live like Jesus, and you can't do that in yourself. He will help you to tell others about the Lord, and you can't do that in yourself. And so this Samson was like our Savior because he had a supernatural birth, and he had a supernatural power to help him to do the things that he did, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit. They both looked like ordinary men. Now, this past week, I had a man come here to this church, and I asked him about being saved. And he said, "I'm a Muslim." And I said, "Well, Muslims can get saved." And he said, "Well," he said, "we believe Jesus was a prophet." I said, "That's not going to save you, friend. Jesus being a prophet, what a prophet does is shows you where you've done wrong. If you've committed fornication and had relations before marriage, he shows you that sin and that's wrong. You're going to die and go to hell. If you tell one lie, he shows you, a prophet shows you that lie is a sin, and you're going to have to face God with that, and you're going to have to pay for it by being cast into hell. That's all a prophet can do. A prophet can tell you the word of God. A prophet can show you where you're wrong.
Amen.
But can a prophet save you?
No.
No. I said a prophet can't save. A king can't save you.
No.
You know, David was a king, but he can't save anybody. A king can't save you. There's only one person that can save you, and that's a priest. Because a priest can offer a sacrifice for your sin. And Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice for our sin. And he paid for the sins of the world. He's the only. So I said, "You're a Muslim. You believe in Jesus, a priest. That's fine. I do too. But that's not what saves me. Jesus as my not a prophet, say Jesus as a priest saves me. And you need to accept him as your Savior." And he said, "Well, I'm content with my Muslim religion." And then he ran into my wife, and my wife said, "Look, you've been here two times now. You came as a kid on the bus, and now you've gone into the Muslim religion, and you've come back, and my husband's told you the second time how there's no hope for you if you don't accept Jesus Christ." And let me tell you, there was no hope for Israel unless Samson would deliver them. And he did deliver them. For 20 years, he became their hero, their judge, their savior. And he delivered them. But that was just for 20 years. You need somebody that will save you forever. This guy got saved on a Carnival Sunday. How many years ago? A lot of years ago. 16 years ago. But he's still saved. Amen. And you know what? If you get saved, you'll be saved forever. And that's what I want. Carnivals come and carnivals go. Spring comes and summer goes. But Jesus never goes. He is the one and only one. And he was born supernaturally. And Samson's a picture of that in his birth. Because God wants us to read this Bible and see Jesus in this Bible. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And when you come to church, you need to see Jesus. Amen. And that's what saves you, getting a look at Jesus. And number two, Samson is a picture of our Savior because he was mocked by his enemies for his weakness. I thought you said Samson was the strongest man that ever lived. Yeah, but he also became very weak. Because as I said, his strength would go from him. His strength was that he had to keep his vow. His mother was told that. His father Manoah was told that. The angel of the Lord said that. They said the only way Samson can have his strength is if he keeps his vow. And to keep his Nazarite vow, he cannot cut his seven locks. If he cuts them, it will lose his vow. And you say, well, how long was he not to have a haircut for his whole life? By the way, that's not for you. If you're a man, you're not to have hair like a woman, Revelation 9. 1 Corinthians 11 says you're to have hair like a man. That means cut your hair so it doesn't grow over your ears. Let us see your ears. Good or bad, let us see them. Eric here, you can see his ears. I call him Eric. You can see your ears. But Samson, no. He was special. And what happened with Samson was that he told Delilah the secret of his strength. He shouldn't have done that. She pestered him day and night. Why did she pester him? They gave her silver. And they said, we'll give you all this silver if you tell the secret of his strength. And she pestered him and she pestered him. And then he would tell her a lie and she would try to check it out. And it was a lie. He still had his strength. It just kept, and he kept lying to her. She said, how can you say you love me and don't tell me? Tell me! And he couldn't take it anymore because he did love her. You know, you watch out who you love. It can bring you down. And it brought him down. And his strength, the Bible said, went from him. And when the Philistines got him, they did something really nasty. And by the way, if you don't have God's strength and you don't stay with the church and you don't stay with the Bible, you get out there in the world will treat you nasty. What's it going to take? I know people that have had car accidents. They've had everything to get them to walk with God. You better learn your lesson. And if you don't, you'll have nasty things happen. And you say, well, what nasty thing happened? Nasty things are happening in America because America's turned from God. And what happened? His eyes were burned out with hot pokers. His eyes were burned out. And they put him in chains. And you know what they would do when they wanted entertainment? They would all get together and bring Samson out because he terrorized them so much when he was with God. They were afraid of him. Now that they had him where they wanted him, they began to mock him. You notice how the news media mocks Christians? You notice how the news media mocks people that God raises up to go against the New World Order like President Donald Trump? They put him down. Listen to me. He was being mocked. And they had this big party and they had thousands of people sitting in the upper deck. And they've done archaeological proof and they showed there would be two pillars, usually very close together, that would uphold a big, big upper deck where thousands of people could be seated in that upper deck. And that's the way it was in Samson's day. And they brought him in and they began to make fun of him. And he was supposed to make fun, you know, they would make fun of him. You know what? That's a picture of Jesus too. Wasn't Jesus weak?
Yes.
Yeah, he was weak. And didn't they push him around? Now you say, but Jesus did miracles. He was strong. They were following him. Yeah, when the Holy Spirit was leading him to do miracles, yeah, just like Samson. He was doing feats of great strength and wonderful things. But then the Holy Spirit led him to be what? Weak. The Bible said he was crucified in weakness. And the Bible said they mocked him.
They
spit in his face. They blindfolded him. Samson couldn't see. They blindfolded him. He's like this. And then they hit him. Who hit you? You're supposed to be a prophet. Who hit you? Boy, I wouldn't want to be in the sneakers of those people that are mocking Christians right now. Because there's coming a day when God's going to mock them back. There's coming a day. And it's building up with God. And God is long-suffering, but when he blows that cork, it's going to go. And we've been talking about that in Revelation. I encourage you to come to Sunday school. It talks about it. It's real, friends. Amen. You need to know the bigger they are, the harder they fall, and God will do it. But Jesus, he was crucified in weakness, just like Samson was weak and being mocked. And I know Samson was weak because of sin. He sinned with Delilah, and that's what took his power. But wasn't Jesus weak because of sin? Yeah, but not his sin, our sin.
Yeah.
It took him to be weak because of our sin. You see, when he was on the cross, the leaders of the people of his day, they said, come on, show us you're the Messiah. You're supposed to do great miracles. Come on down from that cross. Do a miracle. And Jesus just stayed there weak. And they mocked him up there because he was weak. But you know what? If he would have showed strength and he would have come down off that cross, you'd have to pay for your own sin. He was there on that cross in weakness because he had to let them kill him. He had to let them kill him so that he could save us. He had to let them mock him so that he could save us. And he wasn't so concerned about their mockery. And I like it when people who follow God and who follow the Word of God, and maybe people mock you, I like it when they keep following God. I like that young bus kid that the mother told me brings his Bible to school, and the teacher was mocking him and everything else. And that mother stood up for her son. And she told me, I know you'd have something to say, Pat. I said, I sure do. I got something to say, and I will help you. I said, that son of yours may be called to preach. I told him about Bobby Hiller and his family. And I said, you're just a bus mother. You don't come to church. And I said, but your son, God's doing something in his life. And she loves her son. And she's sticking up for him. And I said, amen and amen. But they were mocking Samson. And they mocked Jesus. And they both had a supernatural birth. They both had to be weak and be mocked because of weakness. And listen to me, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, I am not telling you that the world is going to say, oh, that's great. You know, it's so great. You've accepted the Lord. We just know you're great now. No, the world may reject you. The world may mock you. But there's coming a day when you'll be glad that you came to Carnival Sunday and you decided to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because he will wash your sins away. He will, because he is a priest that died and offered his own blood as the payment for sin. And he would not give in to the popularity crowd that said, you have to get off the cross to make us love you and think you're somebody worthy to be followed. No, he knew he had to go to that cross. He knew he had to die in weakness to pay for our sin. And you have to accept him by faith now, even when the world rejects him. And if you do, you won't go to hell. You'll go to heaven.
That's right.
And you'll be saved. And that's the good news today. And there's one more thing about Samson. Not only did he have a supernatural birth, not only was he mocked and died in weakness, but number three, Samson, like your Savior, did more damage to his enemies and your enemies by his death than by his life. I want you to notice this. It says in the Bible, and Samson took hold of the two pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it is borne up. Now, what happened? There were these two pillars, and the house, the big upper deck of the house, was held up by these pillars. And there were thousands of Philistines. The Bible says about 3,000 men and women on the upper deck of that great theater. And Samson was being mocked on the lower floor. And these two pillars, less than 6 feet apart, were there. And a boy was guiding Samson because he couldn't see. And Samson said, guide me to these pillars. He said, guide me over to these pillars. He said, I want to, you know, go over to these two pillars. And the kid guided him over. And Samson took one hand like this and one hand like that between the two pillars. And the Bible said he bowed himself like that. Now, what happened? He first prayed and he said, God, give me my strength just one more time so I can get vengeance on my enemies. You know, when he did that, God gave him that strength. And the Bible says the hair of his head had begun to grow again. And the Holy Spirit gave him that super, and he went like this. And those pillars moved. And when they moved, the whole kit and caboodle came down. 3,000 men and women were killed. All the thousands below were killed. Samson was killed. They were all killed. And the Bible said that he killed more by dying than he did by living. He killed more enemies of God's people by dying than by living. And you know what? Jesus lived. He did miracles. Yes, thank God. But he did more by dying for our sins in defeating the devil. And the devil wanted him to die. The devil wanted him to be arrested. And the devil wanted him to go in the grave. But what the devil didn't know was 3 days and three nights later, he was coming out of that grave alive. And all those that put their faith in him, including Samson, who died, are coming out of that grave alive. I thank God that he conquered death for me. I thank God he conquered Satan for me. I thank God I don't have to go to hell. I thank God there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
What are you doing, Christian, with a sourpuss face, depressed? You're living too much on sight and not enough by faith. I'm sick and tired of people that are sick and tired that are Christians. You have no need to be. You have no need to be. And I don't mean that in an impatient way. I'm a pastor. I love people. But I want to help you to rejoice in the Lord. And that's why I'm telling you this. Because he conquered death. And he did it by dying for our sins and doing what the Father wanted him to do. The best thing you can do in your life is do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
If that means martyrdom, so be it. If that means going to jail, so be it. Yep. Whatever it is, just follow him by faith. Because you see, Jesus died in weakness, but he was raised in power, and he saves permanently everyone that puts their faith in him. Oh, from the Old Testament believers like Samson to the New Testament believers like you. And if you're here today, you're here for a reason. God wants you to know you're a sinner, you are on your way to hell, and you need a Savior, but you got one, Jesus.
Amen.
And I'll just say this. Alex is my buddy here, right here. This man right here is my buddy. And we were going out soul winning on Thursday night, and he gave the gospel first to a guy. And he said, you know what? He said, Jesus, he said it this way. He said, it's like we're all in court. How many of you have gone to court? I've gone to court. How many of you have been a defendant in court? I've been a defendant in court. All right, you've gone to court, you're the defendant. Which means that you're being accused of something, and you're in court, you're a defendant, and guess who the judge is? The judge is God. And God knows everything, amen? He knows every sin you've ever committed. Even ones nobody else knows. Husband, wife, parents, nobody knows it. God knows it. One sin is enough to send you to hell. And you're in court and God is the judge. That's trouble right there. Amen? And guess what? Guess what? You're the defendant. God is the judge. Alex was telling this guy, and he said, Satan is the prosecuting attorney. And Satan is pointing out your sins. And by the way, he's good at it. Amen? He's a sinner himself, but he's pointing. You want to do the devil's work, just go around and point out people's sins, you know? And that's what he was doing, pointing out sins in order to condemn us. That's all he wants. He wants us condemned because he knows he's going to hell, right? Or he hopes to win, but he wants to condemn it. So Satan is the prosecutor. God is the judge. You're the defendant. But wait a minute. Do you have a lawyer? Many people don't. You say, well, I can't afford a lawyer. They cost. They do. A good lawyer costs a lot of money. I'm not going to lie to you. They do. They cost a lot of money, a good lawyer. But Alex said the best lawyer is an advocate, 1 John, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he goes up to the judge, and the judge is being told by Satan, this person has sinned, they've done this, they've done that, they've done the other thing. And your law, Mr. Judge, your law is they have to die and go to hell. Now, what are you going to do about that? And Jesus comes up and says to the judge, Your Honor, yes, he has done this, she has done that, she has done this, she has done that, and the punishment is to die and go to hell. But remember, Your Honor, 2,000 years ago, I died for the sins of the world. Samson pushed out those pillars. I had my hands nailed, and here's the holes. I had my side pierced, and here's the hole. I had my feet pierced, and here's the hole. I went through hell on that cross when I cried out, Your Honor, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you agreed that you would take that death in the place of these people that Satan is accusing. Is that not true, Your Honor? Yes, it is true. And what can Satan say? Nothing. Because God has not violated his justice, and Jesus paid it. But what can you say? Now, here's the thing. You need to hire Jesus as your attorney, right? You say, Pastor, have you done that? Yeah, when I was 17 years of age, I hired Jesus as my attorney. You say, how did you afford the fee? It was free. He did it pro bono. He did it pro bono. Just like this carnival is free. Eternal life is a free gift.
Amen.
But you have to hire Jesus and say, Lord, I do retain you as my attorney. I give up any hope of defending myself because that ain't going to work, friend.
Yep.
And so today, through the picture of Samson, and through the illustration of my friend Alex, you're being offered a free gift. Would you take it? And you that have taken it, would you rejoice in it and proclaim it to others? What a Savior. Praise God. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. And I wonder this morning if you say, yes, Pastor, there was a time when I saw I was condemned. I saw that I could not win over Satan, over sin. But I saw Jesus is the advocate, the attorney who paid. And I retained him by simple faith. And I am now sure that I'm not condemned. I know with 100% certainty based on the Word of God that I'm saved. If you know that with 100% certainty, would you raise your right hand, hold it up high all over this building? Amen and amen. Thank God for that. You may put it down. Now, why are some of you not saved yet? Oh, this is the day. This is your appointment. And I'm so glad you're here today. And I want to pray for you that you would be 100% sure. And you can know for sure. The Bible says that you're going to heaven. You can know it. It's written in the Bible. And I'd like to pray for you so that you would know it. You say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand. I was being honest. I'm not 100% sure with a Bible reason that I'm going to heaven. But I'd like to be that person. If you want to be that person, I'll pray for you right now. But would you raise your hand? Raise your hand and say, Pastor, I couldn't raise it, but I'm raising it now. All right, I see those two hands. I see a hand in the back, a lady. I see a man, right? A young man right there. Am I right? Raised his hand. All right, I see another lady right up here. A young lady raised her hand. Anybody else on my right or left that didn't raise your hand, would you raise it up high? And I'll see it, and I'll pray for you. All right, I see that hand. And Lord, I pray that these would retain Jesus. Now, I want just those that raised their hand would look up to me. Everybody else pray. Just those of you that raised your hand. Yeah, thank you. Just look right at me. If you raised your hand to be saved, just look at me for a moment. Now, all right, I see you. Now, just keep looking. Here's what I'm saying to you. You're not here by accident. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That means that you're here and that he will be your lawyer for free. And you say, well, what do I have to do? Just accept his offer by faith. You say, what do you mean accept his offer by faith? That means that you believe that he is for real, that he really did die and really was buried, really did rise again, and that he really will save you the moment you come to him by faith. You say, well, how do I come to him? He's in heaven. By faith. You believe in your heart and you tell him that. So right now, those of you that are looking at me, just bow for a moment and you just tell Jesus, I do believe you're real. I do believe you're the lawyer. And I ask you to be my lawyer. And I put my trust in you. Save me. If you prayed that prayer or you accepted Jesus as your lawyer, would you just raise your hand right now? Hold it up. You just did that. Amen and amen. Now I'm going to ask, while we're praying, all of you with your hands up, many of you, would you just stand right where you are? Just quietly stand. Nobody looking around. Everybody praying. Yeah, just stand. If you have your hand up, everybody with their hand up, please stand. All right. And soul winners, I'm going to ask you to come right now, all soul winners. And I'm going to ask you that are standing, that raised your hand, would you just quietly come to the aisle and come down and meet me right here? Just come down, the whole group, everybody coming, and meet me. All right, amen. Amen. I'm going to have someone pray with you and help you with the decision you made, okay? All right, I need ladies, I need men. All right. Thank you.